My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
On Christ.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
How many know that's the truth? Hallelujah. All other ground is sinking sand. So abandon all other ground. Exodus 14. Praise God. Isn't that right? Because some ground isn't worth building on, so don't waste your time. Thank you, Jesus. I want to share something with you today. I hope will be encouragement to you. It's nothing new. We've been in these verses before. Or perhaps something will be said today in a certain way that will help you live for God better with less baggage. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus 14, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall you encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of the servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. So if there's any question, did Pharaoh go? He did. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside this place, before the other place. I should have just named it like Billy and Joe or something. And when Pharaoh drew nigh the troop, I just didn't feel like reading them. Man, I'm becoming more like Pastor Amy. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. It's amazing what we see from our point of view sometimes. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Hallelujah. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us today. God, for just a few minutes. I don't know the hearts of everybody. You do. I don't know where everyone really is, but you do. I don't know every detail of what people are going through, what they're thinking, how they're handling life, but you do. God, would you just orchestrate some words today? Hallelujah. And help something be said that can change the course of someone's destiny in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Simple little topic today. May not sound all that biblical, but it works. It's time to ditch them. Hallelujah. You know, there's no reason for any of us to come to church looking over our shoulder. There's no reason for any one of us to try to serve God, to try to follow after God with the feeling that there's something pursuing us. We're going to read a couple more passages of Scripture before I go on. If you will, turn with me to hold your Bible here. We're coming back. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the great Word of God. And I'm just going to read the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 10. Thank you, Jesus. I like that statement, though. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, you're not going to see them ever again. Oh, hallelujah. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat all the same spiritual meat, and did they drink all the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. If you will, 1 John 3. Indulge me just a minute as we read one more passage of Scripture. I could read a few more. Maybe mention another one here after 1 John, but let's go to good old brother John. Hallelujah. The third chapter, he's saying some stuff to the children of God in verse 14. He says this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Hallelujah. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Peter wrote that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I want to put into your mind here tonight what Paul also said that we just read to the Corinthian church, how they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. There's a emphasis here on the scene itself that we read here today, that when they were baptized unto Moses, you'll notice as they were following God by the hand of Moses that they didn't take the Egyptians with them.
Hallelujah. They ditched them. Thank you, Jesus. And living for God's a whole lot more fun when you ditch some stuff. Hallelujah. When you allow some stuff to be drowned in the sea. Not a difficult message here today, but I'm just going to try to help somebody understand about what powerful Christian living can really be when we learn how to, when we are buried by baptism into death, we ditch some stuff. And when we rise up to walk in newness of life, not with something still pursuing us. Because there's nothing like trying to live for God and still struggle with your humanity. You got to learn to kill those Egyptians. Oh, praise the Lord. They can't go. It's not designed that they should go and worship God with you. This isn't denominationalism where people make excuse for all their sinful activities, their sinful ways, and their sin nature. We're talking about a real gospel. We're talking about one Lord. We're talking about one faith. We're talking about one baptism. We're talking about a spiritual separation from the world. We're talking about a spiritual circumcision of the heart. Where the old man with his deeds is taken away, and there's a new man that's created that's free from Egyptian pursuit. Hallelujah. I'll try it one more time. Paul said it like this. Sin shall not have dominion over you. When we're buried by baptism into death, the dominion stops. And the rule and reign begins. Hallelujah. And the freedom to live for God, free from the addictions, free from the pressures, free from the bondages of your taskmasters before. You're free from that. It ends. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've all come through. Could you mute that little speaker on Facebook? Yes. Sometimes we listen to it to make sure it sounds all right. I don't want to hear myself. When we look at our walk with God and all of us collectively, we've all been through stuff. You're not the only one that struggled. You're not the only one that sat on, I'm just going to talk our language for a minute, on an apostolic pew with stuff pursuing you. It's just a whole lot more nicer when you sit there and the Egyptians are dead because you ditched them. Your hands go a little bit higher, a little bit more freer. There's a little bit more pep. There's a little bit more joy when you know in the background you're not hearing soldiers marching and swords being drawn out of their sheaths. Amen. And there's not the stretch of bows and arrows being prepared for you. And you feel like, you know, after you go back, you're just going to get entangled again. Praise God. It's nice to have all that stuff off your back. Amen. It's nice to have the old you just dead. Incapable of influencing you. Praise God. That's what this is all about in the first place. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of encouragement. This is a message of acknowledgement. This is a message to try to bring to you one more time what repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost was really supposed to do and accomplish in your life. What it can accomplish in your life if you'll just let the power of God deliver you like it delivered them. When God comes to deliver you, He comes to separate you from what you need deliverance from. He has, oh hallelujah, He has no intention for a problem to sit there with you in the church house. Praise God. I don't want to have church with the Egyptian army. You understand? I'm not talking about the physical Egyptian people today. Amen. We're talking about, yes, what they went through, but what we go through on this side of Calvary's cross. Praise God. Try to hear this lesson. If I can somehow share something and throw it to you from a different perspective, that perhaps the next time life tries to beat you, if it tries to pursue after you, that God will stir up your remembrance and you'll remember, these things are not supposed to go with me. I'm not going to the house of God and bringing the army with me. Praise God.
Now I'm talking about other things specifically. It's one thing when external things come to our lives, but it's another thing when we start struggling internally. That's the bigger battle. If we can deal with external things that have nothing to do with our walk, they just come at us like flies and gnats. Okay, that's fine, but we know we're all right. Hallelujah. Egypt has always become in Scripture a symbol of the world, symbol of darkness, a symbol of really collectively the harlot, if you look at the world in darkness. And that's what people don't get about the revelation of Jesus Christ. They got to get all spooky and stupid with it because they're being stupid. And they're carnal and they don't have revelation that comes from God. So the only thing they can do is view it in the eyes of a comic book. But there's something deeper than all of that. And when you start living this walk with God, you experience pretty much almost most of what you read in the revelation of Jesus Christ, whether you understand it or not. Hallelujah. So let's go back and give me just a few more minutes. It doesn't take a long message to get a message through to you. Praise God. Isn't it nice when you don't have to live life looking over your shoulder? Amen. I'm telling you, look, what I started saying earlier is we've all been there. You're not the only one that's been through trouble, externally or internally. You're not the only one that's come to and sit upon a pew knowing that there are some things in your life that need to be straightened out that aren't quite where they should be, feeling like you're a hypocrite when you raise your hands. You're not the only one. If you think you're the only one, you're naive. Praise God. And I say that respectively. Amen. You might look at some of us and think, man, you're just the best of the best, and God's people are, but it doesn't mean that we have been without struggle, or that there haven't been moments when we needed to ditch some stuff. Praise the Lord, whether it's attitudes, amen, ways of seeing things, or fleshly lusts, or you name it, it's been there, but we fought, we won, we ditched them. And now we're in the promised land and we have seen those things again no more forever. Amen. Amen. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, praise God, but alive unto God through righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Do yourself a favor and ditch some stuff. You'll live happier. Glory, be dead to some stuff. You'll live freer. Your worship will be spontaneous and combustible, praise God. Because nothing's trying to hold you back and keep you in fear. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. But listen to the faith of Moses. I'm picturing the prophet again and his servant in the army of Syria surrounding because they're tired of the man of God giving the word of the Lord to the king and the king becoming aware of all the attacks of Syrians. So that's what church is all about. Come to church and the Lord reveals to you something that's yet to come, and then you smarten up and you go another way and the enemy can't find you. Then he gets ticked off, so he tries to find out how this is happening, and then he surrounds you. Glory to God. Amen. Don't be surprised when God allows trouble to surround you. Don't come to church with your thumb in your mouth. Like, God, what are you doing? It's the way He does stuff. Calvary never changed Him. He said, I am the Lord, Malachi 3. I change not. Just because I've become your Savior doesn't mean the way I do stuff has changed. It just means now I am your Savior like I was their Savior. Now I'm everybody's Savior and I still behave the same way. Praise the Lord. So if He allows you to feel the heat of an Egyptian army, don't go all, oh my, I thought He was the loving Savior and the kind Savior and the Savior that would never, always has my best interest at heart. Don't sound like a wuss. That's so weak. He's a Savior that He loves. He don't mind fighting. And when the enemy rises up, it's His forte. He's like, that's fine with me. I'm taking my coat off and I'm rolling up my sleeves. We're going to battle. I can deal with this. We're crying out, oh, what's He doing? Why are they coming? Why have you brought us here to die? I thought this is the truth. Nothing's ever supposed to happen after I receive the Holy Ghost.
everything is being hunky-dory and miracles everywhere, and I'll never struggle and have a problem. I don't know what book you're reading. You're not reading this one. Praise God. But how many know that He's the master of the battle? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. All right, I'm not going to try to belittle this. Let me just come back here to Exodus 14. I think hopefully we said enough to help you. Enough. Look, no matter what you're going through, whether it's external, whether you're trying to do your very best for God, and then things happen. Struggles happen. May have nothing to do with you. You're not sinning. You're living right. You're trying to do all the right stuff. But stuff happens. Praise God. And that's okay. When these things take place, don't lose heart. Praise God. It's just the way it works. It could be God. It could be God Himself just wanting to get the glory out of what you're going through. And He's allowing all this stuff to happen. And there may be something He's wanting to do, like He said here in the Egyptians, that they might know. It's almost like He had the personal vendetta against an idolatrous people that He wanted to say, I want them to know that I'm the Lord. Had nothing to do with Moses and Israel. It was partly about their way of living, their lifestyle, their wickedness, and God saying, I'm going to get me honor upon these bunch of idolaters, and I'm going to let them know that I'm the Lord. Because remember, He's a jealous God. He hates idolatry. Told us, have no idols before us. Make sure He's kingpin over our lives. That He's in the temple and nothing else is. Amen. He will not submit the throne to anything else. Amen. Without letting you know something's there that shouldn't be there. Amen. All right. And so He's there and He's displaying Himself and He's already really ransacked Egypt and let them know. And He's still purposely doing something with the children of Israel. Leading them away from where they could have gone, but He knew they weren't strong enough to go that direction, and He wasn't going to lead them by Gaza, by the Mediterranean, into the Promised Land. He was going to take them down and kind of shut them in. And that's what we feel sometimes. We have no idea what God is doing. We have no idea. We just pray a prayer, oh Lord, and He's answering the prayer. He's just not answering the way we want Him to. He's not doing the way we want Him to, the way we've outlined it. We pinned it and said, this is how you do it so that I have the least amount of trouble. Man, we have related. Hallelujah. That was some spontaneous yelp. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the record books, I hope Mike got that one. Praise God. But isn't it true? Amen. But when the Lord's in charge and we're calling upon the name of the Lord, He's the Lord. He'll do what the Lord wants to do. And He purposely did this, whether you like it or not. Have people that struggle with the fact that He parted an ocean. I don't know what your problem is other than you have no faith. You don't trust Him. You don't understand the ways of God. If He wants an ocean to get out of His way, it's getting out of His way. If He wants to destroy the world with water, He'll do it. Praise God. And He's not depending on any scientist or archaeologist that depends on a shovel or a microscope or whatever, or a telescope for the star people. He's not submitting Himself to anybody's thinking, not even ours. So here we go. I'll try to finish now. I've been long enough. And Moses said unto the people, because he's a good man of God, he knows the Lord's going to do something, has no idea yet, but he just knows because he's come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. And when you walk with God, you know, even if you feel like your back's against the sea and all you can see are the pursuers that say, you're not going to have a church here. You're not going to live for God here. I'm going to ruin you. I told the story in the testimony. It's been a long time. But when I first was converted, I began to, some months later, take prayer seriously and go to prayer every morning before I went to school, 6 o'clock to 6:30. They're praying, calling on God, just having a good old time. God just showed me as a young 14-year-old kid that what I am in the church house, I am here in your private devotion. And I learned that, and that helped me grow because, like we talked about the schedule the way it was a long stretch to that Thursday service. And sometimes when we're in our understanding, we can kind of walk through the church house depleted, not getting some things. But when I realized that, I was walking with God, and that God was not limited to the church building.
and to a service schedule that I could have this abundantly every day. It changed my attitude. It changed my thinking. I didn't start getting down because I wasn't with the church people and because it was 3 or 4 days till the next service. And, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Being around an atmosphere that wasn't what I was learning and becoming accustomed to. But one morning I went to prayer, and just as fast as I began to call upon God, a voice whispered in my ear and said, "You're not going to make it past your first year." And I heard it as clear as day. It wasn't an audible voice, but there was a spirit that met me in prayer. And I brushed it off and began to pray, but it stopped me for a moment because I didn't expect that. I expected prayer. I expected to worship. I expected to speak with tongues and magnify God and just have a great time before I went to school. Next morning, same thing. This happened 30-something years ago. Devil's a liar. Thank God we didn't believe the lie. But in my youngness, if you will, at some point on that third day, I had to remind myself, wait a minute. Why would God tell me I'm not going to make it when He saved me to make it? And promised that what He's begun in me, He would perfect in me and bring it all the way to the very end. I had to ask myself, wait a minute. If the Lord's blessing me and I'm experiencing the presence of God, the same God that I'm serving now is not going to tell me I'm not going to make it past my first year. And I had to, as silly as it seems, but when you're new, you can be easily influenced by a lot of stuff. And I had to lean on not all the Bible knowledge that I had, because I didn't have hardly any, other than what I was reading at that time for those first few months. But I had to lean on the fact that I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that what I had was real, and I knew it was real. And I said, this is not of God. And I had to go to prayer again. And when that would try to come again, I would say, you're a liar. You're a liar. Something was trying to pursue me and say, you're not going to be delivered. You're not going to stay saved. You're not going to make it. Praise God. Amen. I thank God He knows how to end discouragement real quick. Fear real quick. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when He tries to come in like a flood and tell you you're not going to make it and make you afraid. See, that's His goal. It's to make you not cross over on dry ground. He doesn't want you to ditch Him. Praise God. He wants rule and reign in your life. He wants control. He wants you to believe His report. Amen. His report will cause you to stay in Egypt. God's report will drown him in the ocean. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember that time when that year mark was up. I'm still here. 2 years was up. I'm still here. 5 years was up. The accuser of the brethren cast down. I'm still here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. But again, to the point, just because we're living right isn't going to keep us from those types of things happening. The intention to make you afraid. When you're afraid, you won't move. And He can torment you. Praise God. But all right, I promise. So let's go. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. I relate to Moses. For any amount of time, whether it was way back in the early 90s when we were looking after the church while pastors in Arkansas, or now after these events, in pastoring especially, and working with people, I understand the feeling that a preacher has when he's just trying to keep everyone calm. Trying to encourage people, knowing they're going through some stuff, don't be afraid. Trust in God. He's going to come through for you. When I read that, I'm like, yep, I know exactly what you're saying, Moses. I know what you're trying to do, Moses. Hallelujah. Just stay calm. Praise God. Relax. When everything's like, pull your hair out, you're frustrated, you feel like jumping off a cliff, and everyone can just jump in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone and don't want to deal with anything. And no, that's true. And the man of God there to say, everything's going to be all right. Kind of like those two ladies praying with Pastor.
Hold on, let go. You know, tug of war, which do I do? Hold on and let go. Praise God. Fear not, stand still and see. See what God's going to do. Just hold on a little bit. Don't give up. Keep praying. God's going to come through for you. I know, I feel what he's saying here today. They weren't seeing it at that moment. They were seeing an army. And they're marching towards them. And of all the things that God would do, put them in a place where they can't run. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again. No more. Forever. Wouldn't it be nice to come to church and that's something that might have been ailing you? You ditch it. For good. Condemnation from the past. Drowned into the sea. The way you feel about yourself, you ditch it. Yeah, I know I'm talking to human beings today. Praise God, who can relate exactly to what I'm saying. Your own disappointments in yourself. All the things the enemy tries to remind you of. There are going to be times in your best moment in God, the enemy is going to walk right up to you and slap you right across the face with your past. To make you feel ashamed, to make you feel unworthy, to make you feel afraid, to try to remind you that you're not what you pretend to be. And make you feel like you're pretending. And that's when you got to take the bull by the horns, rip the horns off and say, I am who I am. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm on the other side. Praise God. I have passed from death unto life. And whatever I was in death is what I was. But what I was, I am not now. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Now watch what the Lord says. Because we don't see the big picture here. We don't see everything that was going on. If we did, we would be a part of their hysteria. We would see what they were seeing, feeling what they were feeling. Now remember, there's this old man leading approximately 2 million Jews. And they're all shut in. And they've got armies. They've got hundreds of chariots, soldiers, footmen. And they're all marching to just desecrate the children of Israel. So they're seeing this. They're feeling this. And there's mayhem. And he's trying to calm everybody down. Come on, let's sing another song. Everything's going to be all right. And some say, it's easy to be a preacher. Just get up, preach, collect an offering. Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe in your fantasy world. So here he is bearing all of this. Old man, he's not 40 like Chipper. Come on. He's an old man. 80. Close to a nursing home. He's got 2 million people crying out. You should have left us in Egypt. Why did you try to help us? So we don't know what Moses is saying unto the Lord, but there seems to be an indication. The Lord said unto Moses in verse 15, I got to stop. Wherefore criest thou unto me? I don't know what he was saying. I don't know if he was like, okay, I'm ready. Do something. I'm doing the best that I can, trying to preach and encourage people. I need you to do something. I'm telling them you're going to do something. I need you to do something. I don't know what he was saying. God was hearing their cry, and I'm sure he was expressing faith. He's going to show up. Okay, show up. No, this is true. You know how many times I can go home and knowing that there's situations, sometimes I don't. I can just look and just assume, but still saying, I've just got done. Look, I've gone home after just being wore out all day and not prepared anything, just in prayer, and the word of the Lord comes and I give it. And you don't know, I have had no prep time other than prayer time. And just had a great time of feeling like there's great move of Spirit of God and encouragement, and then go home and just say, now do it. Everyone's like, yay, do it. So that they don't go, yay, the Egyptians. It'd be a hard time trying to encourage 2 million Jews when they're still looking at the army.
So you got to go and encourage them. Dig them all up. Replay the scene. You go out there and say, everything's going to be all right. Watch what the Lord will do for you. And you shall hold your peace. Put those stones down to stone me. Meanwhile, they're there chanting, marching. They hear the feet coming. Chariots rolling, spears, arrows ready to just do everybody in. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. Yeah, it's not going to go over good. And the Lord said, wherefore Christ thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now watch, this is comical to me, and I'm not trying to ruin Scripture because it's great to hear, stand still and see the salvation of God. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. But it's like sometimes we try to pamper the situation instead of really help the situation. When the answer is sometimes not stand still and see, just relax. The answer is get up and get going. That's what he's saying. No, I don't want them standing still. I want them to go forward. And now I'm going to instruct you. Now you go do this. But you lift up your rod. See, in other words, this is what I'm trying to say here today. This is part of the point I don't want to forget, and I'm closing right now. God was using Moses to avert their attention from the Egyptians to the power of God. He didn't want them standing still, because if they stood still, they'd be focusing on the wrong thing. When you go forward, you leave what you're focused on. In order to go forward, you've got to stop looking at what's got you standing still. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. This is not in contradiction to be still and know that I am God. That's not what I'm saying here today. I'm saying there are times when we've got to avert, we've got to move. We've got to move away from what's causing us to be afraid. We've got to move away from, we've got to go forward even when we can't see where forward is. God's going to reveal the forward. He wouldn't have told them go forward if they couldn't do it. Hallelujah. 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 Now watch. It's kind of like this. See, it's like the Israelites when they were in the promise, where they're going to the promised land. We read this some time ago, and the priest bore the ark, or at some point when they were crossing Jordan. Yes, it was crossing Jordan. When their feet touched the brim, Jordan parted. You can't be afraid to put your foot in the brim of the water. You can't be afraid to go forward. You've got to go forward and let God be God. Your job is to go forward. Moses' job was to do this. God's job was to part the water. That wasn't Moses' job, although he told him to divide it. It was the power of God that would demonstrate, because God was wanting to create a picture for all the Israelites to look at. Because I promise you, if you and I were standing there and we had a choice between being moved by the army or watching an ocean part, what would have your attention? Praise God. Amen? So the instruction of God comes to avert your attention off of, which is very difficult for us to do sometimes, to avert our attention away from the very things that have us in a state of fear. Let's all stand. I'm finishing right now. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Yeah, right. Praise God. You want me to do what? I want you to do something that looks totally ridiculous, and in 3,000 years, scientists won't believe it. They'll try to explain it away. But since I'm the Lord, I could care less. I want you to do something. Praise God. And I want the children of Israel watching you go over there, and I want them to see you lift your rod over the sea. Same rod that became a serpent. The same rod that touched the river and it became blood. Praise God. The same rod that Moses picked up when God was showing him, this will be a symbol in your hand that I'm with you. Praise God. And stretch it out over the sea and divide it. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. Or thou lift up thy rod, stretch thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You're going to get through this. You're going to go through the midst of whatever you've got to go through. And whatever it is that you're dealing with now, you're not going to see it again anymore. Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Who's he going to take the glory? These are they which have overcome. Praise God. These are they which have overcome the world. Overcomers. That means we've gone through some stuff, but we ditched our enemies and we won. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's enough. Let's love Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up that rod. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a surrender. Our praise is a surrender that can part the waters.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll prove it again to you one more time. Hallelujah. I will lift up mine eyes. See the terminology God uses? But you lift up your rod. Lift up your head, O ye gates. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. Why? Because I'll see the dude with the rod. And I'll forget about what's pursuing me. Hallelujah. Now see what the guy with the rod's doing. And then I'll suddenly realize what he just told me is true. There's my forward. Praise God. Watch. Again, let's go back to a jail cell where two people have been beaten. They're not feeling very good. I feel very churchy today. Like some of us come to church and you look at me like you haven't slept in 10 years. I'm like, yep, it'll take an act of God to move them today. And there's Paul and Silas, but they made a decision to avert their attention from the stripes and the innermost part of the prison and the shackles and the closed prison doors. And they said, we're going to lift up our eyes. Hallelujah. We're going to start praying because prayer is the process of aversion from unto. And praying always gives birth to praising. And the scripture says they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, time to break it all up. It's time to open up your forward. And God destroyed that prison. Broke up the foundation. Everybody's prison doors swung wide open. Their chains fell off. God had freed them. Hallelujah. What would have happened if they kept mulling over the fact that they were beaten? They tried to do something for Jesus. And it didn't turn out all that good. And now they're in the innermost part of the prison. Shut up. Oh, most of us be sucking our thumb, crying out to God. Thought we did right. Where are you? And all of this. No, instead, they said, I got to lift up. Oh, I'm kind of looking at that Egyptian army when I know what I know. Hallelujah, your praise is powerful. Well, you don't have to know how it's all going to work out. Just get yourself to the lifting up, to the surrender, to the power of the Most High God and watch what God can do while you're praising God. Glory. Hallelujah. Let's love Him one more time. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Don't hold back your praise. This thing that ails you, you're not going to see it again anymore. Don't hold back your praying. Don't hold back your praising. You've got to believe God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, your prayer room is a war room. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for listening. See, all the great church services sometimes is God averting your attention. Praise God. We can sometimes walk in, what am I going to do? What about all of this? And the Lord averts your attention to, what's that guy doing with that stick? Keep watching. Praise God. The more time you watch that, the less time you'll spend watching this. And then by the time he's done doing that, you'll have ditched them. Hallelujah. Brother Rick, come in this thing in prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Let's praise him, let's praise him. Let's praise our God. Hallelujah, Lord, for you are great. Greatly to be praised, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.